We start this week's Radio Moments with football commentary. It's always a demanding job. You're live, you're never quite sure what's going to unfold. This week in 1985, Tony Della Hunte was commentating for Independent Radio News. Bradford City versus Lincoln.
And people are running around, they're running around beside us, they're running around all around us, and people are saying, get onto that pitch. People all the time spilling onto the pitch. The game is stopped, Mickey Bullitt, York, you can see above me, what can you say?
The whole stand is on fire, Tony. It's an absolute, and it's spreading quickly. There's going to be problems, Tony.
Let's get all those people out of there. Let's get those people, just take your time.
Tony Della Hunte from Bradford's Pennine Radio reporting this week in 1985. Drama of a different kind this week in 1971. The pirate radio ship Mebo 2, the home of Radio North Sea International, which had lots of UK listeners back in those days, was firebombed. Imagine being on air when this happens.
Once again, our exact position, please listen carefully, 52 degrees, 11 minutes north latitude, 4 degrees, 16 minutes longitude, west. Sorry, east. 4 degrees, 16 minutes east longitude. 52 degrees, 11 minutes latitude north. This is the Mebo 2. This is the Mebo 2 on fire. This is the Mebo 2 on fire.
Amazing stuff. And he hit the post in the voiceover music too, the only SOS ever to have backing music. In radio, if an interview is not going too well, you can soldier on, or you can hope the interviewee storms out.
And finally, you can either answer this or not. I just give you the chance because it's out there at the moment. As you know, that the suggestion you didn't want to say the famous line in Gladiator in this book that has come out.
Okay. Thank you.
I don't get the Irish thing, bro. I think it'll
go. Russell Crowe leaving a Mark Lawson interview on Radio 4's Front Row this week, 3 years ago. May 1975 now. At a Radio 1 fun day at Mallory Park, David Hamilton remembers.
One of our guests on the programme were the Bay City Rollers. They were the hot band at the time. I knew them very well because I had compared their UK tour. But it was the time when all the girls were screaming and throwing themselves at the Bay City Rollers. And to get away from them, they got into a boat, or a couple of boats, I think, on the lake and rowed away from them. And the girls jumped in, fully clothed, and swam after them.
We have the most amazing scenes going on here this afternoon, as you can no doubt hear, partly going on behind us since the rollers have been here. We have a little river surrounding, two various parts of the track here, and the girls are actually swimming across the river.
Memories of the Radio 1 fun day in Leicestershire this week, 38 years ago. It was a far cry from the sedate early days of radio, and this week in 1922, this was about as exciting as it got.
To Hello, Marconi House, London, calling. To Hello, Marconi House, London.
To Hello, launching this week in 1922, the second UK station to broadcast regularly. It was on air just an hour a day. They didn't put themselves out, did they? And it was from the seventh floor of Marconi House on the Strand in London. Those early stations became part of the new corporation, and the BBC chairman suggested that corporation structure would avoid the sort of chaos that had been seen overseas. And it wasn't quite chaos at Radio Trent this week in 1976, but it was getting close. The first programme director had been dispensed with, and the unions went on strike.
There is some personal animosity between me and the managing director. It's difficult to define, as I suppose it always would have been. I was hired by the board of this company, not by Dennis Maitland.
In many senses, this is between Bob Schneider and myself, obviously. But nevertheless, since he is a member of ABAS, there is a procedure that we must go through, which we are prepared and indeed are so doing.
Radio Trent's outgoing programme director Bob Schneider and its first managing director Dennis Maitland, with the two sides of their breakup this week 37 years ago. Those were heady industrial days, and this week in 77, commercial radio was getting annoyed with the copyright body PPL, and they were getting annoyed back, but equally strike action was eventually ruled out. Happy birthday this week to James Whale. He began at BBC Radio Derby, also was on air at Metro, Radio Air, LBC, and this station.
This is Talk Radio. Thank you very much indeed, Claire. Let's go to John from Bradford in West Yorkshire. You're on the air, John.
Good evening, James. Good evening, David.
Hello, John.
My complaint about the radio quality is that I don't think it's doing its job very well in a lot of these AM gold stations.
Not quite sure why I ever agreed to go on that show. James Whale on Talk Radio UK, speaking there to a representative of the then regulator, the Radio Authority. Happy 62nd birthday, James. Jenny Murray is celebrating this week too.
I have to ask you, as the feminist you are we to believe that you signed for a mortgage loan without knowing exactly how it was going to be paid back?
Dame Jenny Murray, 63 this week, BBC Bristol to Radio 4, via Newsnight and The Palace. Also, happy 78th birthday to one of the leading early ILR football broadcasters. He became a leader in his genre. From Birmingham, Tony Butler.
Now let's go to Everton, the final score there, George Gavin.
Happy birthday, Tony Butler, BRMB, BBC Radio Birmingham and WM2. 1964 now, and this week that year, Radio Atlanta came on air from the North Sea, the second offshore 60s pirate.
At 201 metres, you're in tune with the Bob Scott Show, Living, Loving, Happy Radio Atlanta, the ship that rocks the ocean.
That's real, too. Amazing stuff. One of the recorded shows from Radio Atlanta, a station little remembered in its own right, but it was part of the first UK radio acquisition and brand spread in a way as well. After just 2 months, the station became the southern outpost of Radio Caroline. The first ever tranche of radio stations in the 1920s didn't last too long either. In Stoke, it lasted just 2 years.
Centre of the room was occupied by a terrific microphone on solid legs, for all the world like a biscuit tin. It was a question of two or three men pushing this thing about if it wasn't in the right position, either that or pushing the artists from one end of the studio to the other.
How much fun does that sound? Recollections of 6ST in Stoke, its first ever radio station, and it closed down this week 81 years ago. So, with XFM announcing daytime life without presenters this week 8 years ago, the BBC Trust beginning its review of BBC local radio this week 2 years ago, the digital primetime radio finishing this week 7 years ago, and the last BBC broadcast from Savoy Hill this week 81 years ago, those are this week's radio moments.